Anyway, it's always good to speak in this great church. Appreciate your being here. I want you to take your Bible and turn to 2 Timothy. 2 Timothy and chapter 3. Make it chapter 4. Chapter 4 and verse 7. The Apostle Paul has run a race. It's toward the end of his life. And he says some things here that every one of us should want to say when the time comes for us to end our little race here in this world. In verse 7, he says, I have fought a good fight. I have finished my course. I have kept the faith. Now, in the book of Hebrews in chapter 12, it talks about, since we're going to run this race, to lay aside every weight that does so easily beset us so that we can run the race. Before you can run the race, you have to get in the race. So when you trust Christ as your Savior, believe it or not, you have been inducted into the race, whether you want to race or not, whether you want to run or not. And there's a time limit, but you just don't know what it is. There's a finishing line. You just don't know what it is. So if you're going to run, you might as well run to win. And if you're going to run to win, you got to know the rules. You got to know what he wants you to do and not to do. But if you get in the race and you start to run, the race isn't over just because you started. You have to maintain the race. That's where majority of God's people fail. They fail to maintain that discipline that it takes to finish well. We're all going to end up in a place called heaven if we've trusted Christ as our Savior. But what God does for us and to us for eternity depends upon what we did for Him. So our works do not get us to heaven. We're going to heaven because of His work on the cross. He paid for our sins. And all we had to do is believe He did it for us. So when we believe it, He gives us as a free gift eternal life. And He said He'd never cast us out and never lose us. So that's settled. I know I have eternal life. I took care of that 60 years ago. Okay, 62 years ago. And time is moving on fast. But I trust the Lord then, but I've had to run a race. I have enjoyed the race. It has been wonderful. But I want to finish well. So tonight, we know that according to Corinthians in chapter 4 and verse 2, that it is required in a steward that a man be found faithful. So we're to be found faithful, doing what God wants us to do. So as we study the Word of God, we learn the things that God wants His children to do, what to live for. He wants us to love Him more than anything else. All the tests that we have in life, whether they come disguised as tribulations or trials or testing, whatever, it's testing our love for Him against the love of the world. Which one do you love the most, the Lord or the world? So He says, love not the world, neither the things that are in the world. For if any man love the world, the love of the Father is not in him. So how do you know whether you love the Lord or not? Well, when God starts taking things out of your life or sometimes keeps you from reaching those peaks and goals that you want, those dreams that you have. Because you see, when I decided I'm going to serve the Lord, I realized that I may not get all that I want and I'm not going to spend my life trying to fulfill my dream. I just want to know, God, what is your dream for me? What do you want me to do with my life? Because I owe it to Him. And so as you begin to live your life and the years begin to pass, when you get down to where like Paul was and knew you don't have a lot of time left, I want to be able to say, like he said, I have fought a good fight. I finished my course. And I have kept the faith. So I want to maintain my walk with the Lord so that when I get through, I want the Lord to be able to say, well done, thou good and faithful servant. So if you notice up on the screen, it'll be up on the screen tonight with the verses that I want you to see. Why faithfulness is remembering the end game. What's the purpose? What am I after? You see, that's why when you know what God wants, it's so much easier to live your life, because you don't have to try to figure it out for yourself. You just find out, what does the Creator want? What does my Heavenly Father want? And not just do whatever He wants. He's the one that designed life, and He sure made it a lot of fun. So don't be bored. Serve the Lord. If we're going to finish well, we must be consistently fervent in maintaining our walk in faithfulness to the end game. Means, what is the primary purpose of God's call upon our lives? What do you believe is God's will for your purpose in life? And when you get that settled, you can figure out how you're going to accomplish that now. He says in 2 Corinthians chapter 4 and verse 1, therefore, seeing we have this ministry, as we have received mercy, we faint not. We faint not means we fail not, means we don't quit. So for the purpose of this message, I will refer to this statement over and over again. We don't quit. It's just like, how come at their 60 years or 62 years, why I still am in love with the Lord, with His church, with His purpose for lost souls, is because I know the end game. I know that when it's all over and I'm in heaven, I'll wish I had done it. I'll be glad then that I serve the Lord now. I don't want to be in heaven with any regrets that, Lord, I surely messed up my whole life. I want to live here the way I wish I had lived when I get there. So you got to look down the road. Do you want to mess up your life? Do you want the devil to win? Do you want him to have the victory over your life and the lust of the flesh that you have? Do you want him to win in your life? Wouldn't you like to give the devil a big old black eye? I mean, just for the sake of loving the Lord, I want to punch him right in the mouth, the devil. So this verse that we look at, he says, but if our gospel be hid, because we quit, it's hid to them that are lost. You see, the gospel, this good news about how to go to heaven, dwells inside of every believer. We have the knowledge, this treasure on how to go to heaven. The lost man don't have it. But the believers, we know how to go to heaven because that's what we did. We trusted Christ as our Savior. We realized we couldn't save ourselves. But if we don't do what God wants us to do, we're hiding the gospel from the lost man. You and I are supposed to be lights in this world so that people that are lost can be able to see. We don't quit whether we have afflictions or comfort. So in this life, you're going to have both, a little comfort and a little afflictions. Notice what the Apostle Paul said. He says in Colossians chapter 1, or Corinthians chapter 1, verse 3, blessed be God, even the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of mercies, and the God of all comfort. So it doesn't matter what the trials and afflictions and the testings that are. God is the God that can give you comfort in all of them, so that you will have the sufficiency not to quit. God will give you whatever you need not to quit. But you see, when you take your eyes off the Lord and you only see the problems in this life, then you're going to really have some troubles, because you are evading the comfort that God wants to give. So in verse 4, he makes this statement, talking about our Father, who comforteth us in all our tribulations, not from them. We believe that if God really loves me, he would remove the tribulations, you know, the problems. God, don't you love me? Then why do you let me go through all these hard things? And it doesn't matter if you're young or if you're old. I mean, there's trouble in this world. We live in a sinful world. We have a sinful body. We have the lust of the flesh. We have the devil after us and everything that goes wrong. And God wants us to live a victorious Christian life. He says that you may be able to comfort them which are in any trouble by the comfort wherewith we ourselves are comforted of God. So whatever I go through, God wants to comfort me. Me to learn from that so that I can comfort somebody else who's going through it also. That's why your ministry in the Christian life is not just to reach the lost man. It's to also try to bring comfort to the saved man. Because he doesn't always have the love and the peace and the joy and the happiness in his life. But how you live is so important. I've always tried to be excited about the things of God. You see, in all these years, I haven't had a pastor to challenge and to motivate me. I've had to do it because I go to the book and I study it and I find out what it says and it works. So I can keep myself on the right track, running the race, not quitting. But he makes this statement in 2 Corinthians in chapter 1, in verse 5. For as the sufferings of Christ abound in us, so our consolation also aboundeth by Christ. In other words, you're going to have troubles in this life, but meaning his grace is sufficient. And that's why in this book, you're going to see that word used a lot too. So we don't quit whether we have afflictions or comfort. So in verse 6, it says, and whether we be afflicted, it is for your consolation and salvation, your deliverance from them, which is effectual in the enduring of the same sufferings which we also suffer. But like Paul says, but we don't quit. He was under extreme duress. I mean, he was stressed out where he despised even life itself. Have you got there yet? Paul really had troubles. Most of his troubles came because of his desire to serve the Lord and to reach people with the gospel. And there was a messenger of Satan that hindered him, afflicted him, just because Paul had seen things that maybe no other man had seen and come back and be able to motivate him and challenge him. But he says what he saw. God says, lest you get the big head and exalted above measure, I'm going to afflict you so that you'll stay humble. Now, you'd be surprised. Have you ever wondered why God hasn't given you $1 million? I mean, if God loves you, why don't he just give me $1 million? And he doesn't do it. You say, why? Well, because he don't trust you. I don't know why he doesn't give you $1 million. I don't care why he don't give you. I just care because he hasn't given me one yet. They say money isn't everything, but it sure helps you to get a few things. But anyway, we're not supposed to love money or the things of this world. We're supposed to be content doing what God wants us to do with what we have where we are. Now get this statement. In verse 8 he says, but we would not, brethren, have you ignorant of our troubles. So there's nothing wrong in sharing your troubles with other people. Because you want people to pray for you. But you also don't want them to quit because they're having such a hard time. In other words, if you've got a hard time, let me tell you a few things. I love to sit down sometimes and talk to people, and they just pouring out their heart about how bad everything is. And I think, well, let me tell you a few stories. I've also had a few incidences in life. You'd be surprised all the things that I have gone through. You see, when you live longer, sometimes you go through more things. You probably didn't know that. Somebody asked me the other day, or told me, Yankee, you need to act your age. I said, I don't know how to act. I said, I've never been this old before. I mean, I just showed up one day and I was 80 years old. So I don't know what to do. But now get this. For we would not, brethren, have you ignorant of our trouble, which came to us in Asia, that we were pressed out of measure. Now these are your godly pillars in the church. These are the giants. These are those that are getting the job done. This is one of the greatest soul winners of all time. That we were pressed out of measure, above strength, insomuch that we despaired even of life. but we didn't quit. That's why he keeps making that one statement. Because of the ministry, we faint not. For this cause, we faint not. We faint not means we didn't quit. Because what we're doing, you should believe that serving the Lord here in this life and for his purpose is the greatest thing you could ever do on planet Earth. I never had to worry about, is there something else more important that I could have ever lived for than what I've chosen to do? I can't think of anything. I don't know anybody I would rather be. I am satisfied in my own skin about who I am and what God has done with me and for me and through me, and in some cases to me. But we don't quit. In verse 9, he said, but we had the sentence of death in ourselves because we would not quit. Because he wouldn't quit. They tried to get him to stop, but he wouldn't stop. And he would just go from one place to the next place to the next place. And people took oaths to try to kill him. 40 people said they were not going to eat or sleep until they killed Paul. But he still didn't quit. Paul kept going. That's why he was able to tell young Timothy, I have fought a good fight. And when he says, I fought a good fight, he fought a fight. Most Christians today are not willing to fight. Anything that goes against them hurts their feeling. I quit. The preacher, I don't like the way he parts his hair. And Jesse can't even part his hair. And now, I quit. You got to quit for something. You made me mad. Well, bless your little pea-picking heart. Get your feelings off your shoulders and grow up and be a man. Or a young Christian lady, if you have to do that. But it says, we didn't quit. But we had our faith in the Lord. And I think that is so important. Now, there's a couple of verses I want you to see here. He says, who delivered us, talking about the Lord, who delivered us from so great a death. That's past tense, because we didn't quit. And doth deliver, that's present tense right now, because we're not quitting now. I didn't quit, I'm not quitting now, and I'm not going to quit in the future by the grace of God. In whom we trust that he will yet deliver us. You're going to have your headaches and your problems, and people are not going to love you. They're going to say all manner of evil against you. But you can have the joy that the world cannot have. Joy that God can give to you, but the world can't take it away. Faithfulness. Get this little statement. It's a good statement. Faithfulness is based upon our present determination to trust the Lord through future circumstances, regardless of what they may be. Don't you like that? Don't that make sense? That's how we're supposed to have our faith in the Lord. You see, whenever you read the Word of God and you study the Word of God, then you know what God expects us to do. In chapter 4 and verse 6, for God who commanded the light to shine out of darkness hath shined in our hearts to give the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ. You see, we were in darkness, and the light shone to us so that we might be lights that can shine to others. And how we express the gospel, explain the gospel, which is the image of God, the gospel. Because in the gospel, you're describing what God is like, and God is love. So when you explain the gospel, you're showing them how much God loves people. You're showing them about the wrath of God against sin and about his justice. You're showing them about the mercy of God and the grace of God. The gospel reveals all of that. And that's why he says, go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature, every person. Because God wants them to know what he's like. And that gospel story about him loving us so much and paying for our sins and giving us eternal life as a free gift, that reveals how much God loves us. And shame on all those preachers that tell you that that's not true. God wants you to meet a requirement to be worthy of salvation. So you got to turn from your sin, stop being bad, so you'll deserve to be saved. And you got to commit your life to Christ and promise that you'll serve the Lord and make him the Lord and the master of your life in order to be saved, as though you've got to qualify. That is heresy. God loves us just the way we are. And he died for us and paid for our sins. And he came back from the dead. And all he wanted us to do is believe he did it for us. So when you believe he did it for you, he puts that payment he made to your account, and you have eternal life. The reason I can't go to hell today, I don't have any sins to pay for. Why? Christ paid for my sins. You ever heard that before? Am I telling you something new? You never heard it before? You've heard that before, right? Well, if he paid for my sins, why should I have to go to hell and pay for my sins if he paid for my sins? That was the only reason I had to go to hell. And he took care of that. And the reason I can't go to hell in the future, he paid for all those too. He paid for all of my sins. So the gospel portrays the character of God. Works for salvation mars the image of Christ. It doesn't give a true picture of who he is and what he did for us. It mutilates the picture. And he says, but we have this treasure in earthen vessels, that the power may be of God and not of us. I love that. The gospel, the good news, is the dynamite of God. But we don't want to diffuse the power of the gospel by adding something to it and making it something that it's not. Get this. He says this. In Paul's desire to reach the world, his known world that he had at that time, he was willing to go anywhere he could. He went through everything that he could. He made friends and he lost friends. But he says, we're troubled on every side, but we didn't quit. We were distressed, but we didn't quit. We were perplexed, but not in despair. Persecuted, but not forsaken. Cast down, but not destroyed. So Paul said that he was troubled, perplexed, persecuted, and cast down, and he didn't quit. Most believers become unfaithful due to troubles and despair, distress and, you know, being in despair, being cast down or forsaken, been put down, whatever the reason they want to use. But that wasn't the case with the Apostle Paul. We have an example of somebody who's already run a race, fought a good fight. He kept the faith, finished his course. And we should be like that, in a sense that we ought to want to finish the course we have set before us and finish it with joy. So God has said he commanded the light to shine in order to give the light. You ever heard that little song, this little light of mine, I'm going to let it shine. This little light of mine, hiding under a bushel. No! You heard that song? Oh, that's for the little kids in Sunday school. No, it's time for the adults to understand this little light of mine. And we're supposed to let the world see that little light and glorify our Father which is in heaven. So he says in chapter 11, verse 3, he says, but I fear for you. He said, I fear lest any means as a servant beguile thee through his subtlety, so your mind should be corrupted from the simplicity that is in Christ. For if he that cometh preaches another Jesus, which we have not preached, or if you receive another spirit, which we have not received, or another gospel, which we have not accepted, you might well bear with them. In other words, I fear that you're going to listen to somebody who's going to preach another Jesus, or another gospel, or another spirit, because you will not stand fast, because you're wishy-washy now. He says, I cannot speak unto you as spiritual, he says, but unto carnal. You're carnal Christians, you're fleshly minded. In other words, you have made your old sinful nature, your old man, your best friend. I'll say that again. That was pretty good. You have made your old man your best friend. When you couldn't beat him up and you didn't want him to beat you up, you called a peace treaty. You called a truce. And I won't bother you if you don't bother me. And so you compromise and you don't get anything done. Just so that, you know, you let the old sinful nature rob you of so much that God has for you. Paul was concerned that believers would give in to a false teaching because of false teachers. Paul says, because his grace was sufficient, I didn't quit. Of the Jews, 5 times received I 40 stripes save one. He said, but I didn't quit. He said, well, what does that mean? Well, Jesus was whipped. But a cat of nine tails, sometimes they had little pieces of metal in it, pieces of bones or glass or whatever, and they would strike it across the man's back and rip it across his back. And then hit him again and rip it across his back. Do it 39 times. He said, I had that done to me 5 times. And I wouldn't quit. And some people, they can let little things happen to them. And they quit. I'm not going to serve the Lord. I'm not going to witness because somebody hurt my feelings or somebody told me no. I offered them a tract and they gave it back to me. I'll never do that again. God bless your little pea-picking heart. Some people are just looking for a good reason not to be found faithful. But he says, 5 times that happened to him. He says, thrice I was beaten with rods. That doesn't mean he was racing. Thrice I was beaten with rods. Once I was stoned. 3 times I suffered shipwreck. A night and a day I have been in the deep. But I didn't quit. Why is Paul saying all that? He says, if you want to brag, let me boast just for a little bit. He said, I don't want to. But you don't believe that I'm an apostle? Let me tell you what I went through to get the gospel to you. He says, you examine yourself and see, didn't I do this? He said, if I'm not an apostle, who do you think led you to the Lord? I am your father in Christ. He said, I won you to Christ. I taught you. Now you've rebelled. He says, and the more I love you, the less I'm being loved. Paul was brokenhearted, but he didn't quit. People said things about him, but he didn't quit. They didn't believe he was an apostle. They began to challenge his message, the book of Galatians. He said, in journeys often, in perils of water and robbers, in perils of my own countrymen, perils by the heathen, perils in the city, perils in the wilderness, and perils in the sea, and perils among false brethren. But I didn't quit. You see, that's why in chapter 4 and verse 1, he says, therefore, having this ministry, we faint not. We don't quit. Do you believe that what you're doing and serving God is more important than anything else in the world? Because if you don't, you won't make it. You won't finish your course. You won't finish the fight. You're going to run. You're going to quit. And you'll use somebody else as an excuse. It'd be somebody else's fault. You'll blame something or somebody. Instead of standing on your 2 feet and being a man and facing things. He says, in weariness and painfulness and watchings often and hunger and thirst and fastings oft and cold and nakedness. He said, but I didn't quit. That's why he says to them, faint not. We faint not. We faint not. Don't quit. You don't stop. Beside those things that are without, that which cometh upon me daily, the care of all the churches. He says, beside all of that, you know, I just got to be concerned about all these churches and all the false teachers that are coming in and people listening to them. You think it bothered him? He says, who is weak? Am I not weak? He says, who burns? And I don't burn. You don't think I get upset? You don't think I get offended? Who is offended and I burn not? He said, but I didn't quit. Just because I didn't quit. I wish people had a little bit more grit. A little bit more in their backbone. So that they would faithfully serve the Lord without something else they fell in love with more than God. See, today we got to a place where people go to church if it's convenient for them, if they, you know, really want to. But you know why people do what they do? Because that's what they want to do. Most people don't go because they don't want to go. They don't study the Bible because they don't want to study the Bible. They don't witness and share the gospel because they don't want to. Because, see, you really live the way you really believe. You will do what you really want to do. And nobody can be able to stop you. But when you're not really sold on it, anything anybody says or does is enough reason for you not to be found faithful. I want to be faithful. And it doesn't depend upon anything anybody else does. Because see, not a person in this room can keep me from being faithful. You don't have the power to do it. I don't have the power to make you do it or stop you. Because every man can serve the Lord and be found faithful to do what you can with what you got where you are. He says, for this thing I besought the Lord three times, he said, that it might depart from me. So in Galatians 6, 9, he says, and let us not be weary in well-doing. He said, for in due season we shall reap if we what? If we don't quit, if we faint not. Would you desire a person who's fainted to drive you home? I won't even let Tom drive me home, and he's not fainted. Tom just can't see. He's blind as a bat. But a person that's fainted and passed out, would you want that person to drive you home, fly your airplane? I don't think so. So in 2 Corinthians chapter 12 and verse 9, Paul says his grace was sufficient. In other words, all the things that he went through, says God's grace was sufficient. In other words, the desire and the power to do the will of God was sufficient for me. Because when I got weak, when I got down, I found out God gave me strength. So I rather glory in my infirmities because I got more grace from God, more power from God to keep on going and not quitting. He said to me, my grace is sufficient for thee. Are you having a hard time? God's grace is sufficient. Do you believe it? I don't care what you got to go through. You say, I got to find out I got cancer. Is God's grace sufficient for you to face it? It's supposed to be. You've been saying it for 30, 40, 50 years. Just trust the Lord until it happens to you. Oh, then that's different. Y'all know where I was in January, don't you? You haven't forgotten so quickly, have you? I'm alive, I believe, only by the grace of God. But I laid there in that bed, and I see you in January with that little thing over my face trying to give me some oxygen so I could live. And I had that long talk with God that night. I don't know if it was long or not. I can't remember. But I had a talk with God. And I says, Lord, I'm 80 years old. I've had a good life. I'm ready to go. You've been good to me. You've blessed me. I've got to do more than I thought I'd ever do. I says, but if you'll get more honor and glory by taking me home, I'm ready. If you want to leave me here, I just don't want to sit soaking sour. I don't want to just sit around and sip my lemonade for the rest of my life. I want to do something. I don't even ask for perfect health. I just want to be good enough that I can go and travel and preach and do whatever I can do. I want to do something. I want to get more people to trust Christ as Savior. You see, there's an all-driving pursuit there to reach as many people as you possibly can for the gospel's sake. But he says, my grace is sufficient for thee. My strength is made perfect in your weakness. Because then people know I did it and not you. Most gladly, therefore, will I rather glory in my infirmities, that the power of Christ may rest upon me. Yes, we got this treasure in earthen vessels. And as we get older, these earthen vessels get to where they don't want to go like they used to. We start having a lot more problems than we've ever had in our life. I don't know what new ones I'm going to have facing me this coming week. It might be something. But I'm going to do what I can while I can, as long as I can, because it may come a day when I won't be able to do it. And so that's why I want to do what I can while I'm still young. I get old, I won't be able to go. So Paul says, I didn't quit. You know why? Because he didn't have to. God's grace was sufficient. Do you think there's a God up in heaven knew what was going on in Paul's life and how he was hurting, how he was suffering, and all the people that wronged him? Do you think God saw all of that? Why didn't God just remove all the problems? He didn't. He let people wrong him and shame him, forsake him. He says, some of love the present world. They used to love the Lord, but they don't love the Lord like they used to. They don't want to do what they used to do. They just want to live in the past and look what I used to do. I used to do, I used to do. Yeah, but what are you doing now? You don't stop. You don't quit. Because of his grace, he says, I didn't quit. Philippians chapter 1, verse 12, he said, but I would that ye should understand, brethren, that the things which have happened unto me have fallen out rather unto the furtherance of the gospel, because I didn't quit. Whenever they wanted to say all these wicked things about him, they accused him, he appealed to Caesar. And he got to go all the way to Rome. He got to Rome, and lo and behold, he got to even win people to the Lord in Caesar's palace, in Caesar's house. He says, so don't y'all worry about it. The things that have happened unto me have happened to the furtherance of the gospel. I got to reach more people. When I was laying there in the hospital bed, I thought about this. If I wanted to go to India or, you know, Africa or some other country as a missionary, I would have gladly done it if that's what God wanted. But what if God tomorrow said, I need you to go to ER. I need somebody in ER tomorrow. There might be somebody you can share a track with or give them a glowing testimony of how good God's been to you. To some person that might be standing there and their world's about ready to collapse. Or it may be that they're going to pass away pretty soon and you may be the only one. What if God says, you know, I need you in ICU. I'm going to let you go to ICU. I need a missionary in there for about, you know, maybe a week. Maybe 2 weeks. Maybe, I need somebody to go to the, rehab. There's some people there that need to hear the gospel. Is God free to use you without back-talking God, without getting angry with God, without blessing him out because if he's God, why doesn't he love me? Why does he let all these bad things happen to me? Or you want to be like the Apostle Paul. Run your race. Learn to be strong and put your confidence in the Lord. We preach it. Live it. Paul says this in verse 20 of chapter 1 of Philippians. He said, according to my earnest expectation and my hope that in nothing I shall be ashamed, but that all boldness as always, so now also Christ may be magnified in my body, whether it be by life or by death, because I didn't quit. In other words, you and I, we're here so that Christ who lives within us can be magnified. People can see him. You're just the magnifying glass so that people can see the Lord working. And so that's why if that man needs love, God wants you to give him some love. That man needs some patience. God wants you to give him patience. You see, those are the fruit of the Spirit that you have within you, and God wants you to give what he has given to you. You're not poor. You're rich. You have treasure that the world can't give, but there's a world that needs it. And God wants you to take and share that with other people. You can do this. And that's why when I'm laying there in the hospital bed, I say, Lord, if you can get glory out of me being here or there, I'll just let you make the decision. I really don't have a preference. I really don't care. I just will trust your judgment. And I just want you to listen to all of those prayers of all of those saints, all of the world, and do what you think best. And I believe I'm alive only by the grace of God. You may not think so. You might just be because I'm just, No. I have realized how weak we are. Some things you can't make happen. Some things can happen to you you can't control. And if I could have controlled it, I would have never got COVID. I guarantee you. I thought that was for everybody else, not me. But look at the last statement I got up here. For me to live is Christ, and to die is gain. What is your purpose for living? Money? Fame? Your job? Your kids? Your wife? Your husband? Do you know everything you can lose? There's only one thing you can't lose. And he says, I'll never leave you and never forsake you. So the greatest thing in all the world is the Lord himself. And him I can never lose. I am a winner. And I will stay a winner. I will live a winner. I will die a winner. Because I am a winner. And are you? The last little line I put up there, meaning, I will serve Christ even if it kills me. In your own mind, can you say that and mean it? I will serve him even if it kills me, because it may be just that. Did you know that God has the power to take your life at any moment? Whether you serve him or whether you don't. We are in his hands. Did you know that if I am in God's hands, if I was to fall, I can only fall in his hands. Because I can't fall out of it. Ain't that good news? Look up here. I found some sin up here. I like this sin better than my sin. But there's not a dollar bill in this whole wallet. Look up here. This hand represents you and me. The wallet represents sin. You and I, we have all sinned. Means we've all done things wrong. And because we've all sinned, the wages of sin is death. That's why we all die. So regardless of how long we live, we're going to die. But God loves us and wants us to go to heaven. And to go to heaven, we have to be perfect, as righteous as God. No sin. Heaven is perfect. God's perfect. We're not. We're sinners. We're in debt. We have a debt to pay. We got to die. God says that there's no other way to pay for this sin except by death. That's why going to church won't pay for your sins. Giving money will not pay for sin. There isn't anything you can give and take its place. You have to die. This hand represents Jesus Christ. He's the Lord, God in the flesh. He came into this world because he loves us. Now he hates our sin because our sins separates us from him. So Jesus Christ, who had no sin, didn't have to die. So he took all the sin of all the world, paid for it on the cross, came back from the dead. And all that he wanted us to do about what he did is believe he did it for us. Now, if that's all he wanted you to do, is to believe he did it for you, can you handle that? If that's all he asked. He didn't tell you to walk an aisle. He didn't even tell you to raise a hand. He didn't tell you to sign a card. He didn't tell you to sing 15 verses of "Just As I Am." He said, "He that believeth." If you'll believe it, that he did it for you, he puts the payment to your account, and you get to go to heaven on what he did. That's by grace and grace alone. You don't earn it. You don't work for it. You can't buy it. You say, "Yeah, but you got to repent." He did. You see, when you're an unbeliever and you become a believer, what did you do? You repented. You changed your mind. Repent means to change your mind. Doesn't mean turn from your sins to be saved. Now, there's some other verses you can use. Yeah, you can whip it all around. But when it comes to salvation, all he wanted us to do is change our mind. Put our trust in what Christ did for us. And when you put your faith in Christ, he gives you as a free gift everlasting life. Now, if he gave you everlasting life, how long would it last? Forever. And if it lasts forever and all your sins are paid, where would you go when you die? To heaven. So do you have to wait till you die to find out if you're going? No. The Bible says, "For God so loved the world," that's you and me, "gave his only begotten Son," Jesus Christ, "that whosoever," open invitation of all, "whosoever believeth in him should not perish," means you won't go to hell, "but have everlasting life," means you get to go to heaven whenever you die. That's the best news I ever heard. Now, you that know Christ as your Savior. Now, we have a few people like Dr. Paulson. We've got Mr. Yant back there, and we got an old codger like me up here. Did you know when Paul says it was close to the end of his life, when he was going to be taken out, he says, "I have run a good race. I fought. I've kept the faith. And I finished my course." People who are closer to the end maybe becomes a little bit more precious to us. Do you realize I got more people on the other side than I got here? So you see, whether I go or if I stay, I meet some of my people. But one day we'll all be together. That'll be best news in all the world. Let's pray, shall we? Every head bowed and every eye closed, no one looking around. If you're here tonight, I don't know everybody. I come and go now. But if you've never trusted Christ as your Savior, I pray that you would. I want you to know that God loves you. He sent his Son to pay for your sins. And all he wanted you to do is believe it. So I'm going to ask you, will you believe it? Will you believe he did it for you? And when you believe that, he puts that payment to your account. You can say, I have a payment for my sins. That's why I don't have to pay for my sins. That's why I don't have to go to hell, because Christ paid for my sins. If what I said made sense, I'd like to know, and I'd like to have prayer. I'm not going to have you forward. I'm not going to embarrass you in any way. But with heads bowed and eyes closed, if what I said made sense to you, say, preacher, that made sense to me, and I will trust Christ as my Savior tonight. Friend, would you just slip your hand up very quickly and put it right back down? And with all, just slip it up very quickly, put it right back down. If you trust the Lord now, he saves you now, gives you eternal life now, and you can know that you're going to heaven. Anyone at all, we'll wait just a second. It's the most important decision you'll ever make in your whole life. Father, we thank you for your blessings, and thank you for the opportunity you've given us to come together and to study your word. We ask your blessings upon each person here. Use us for your honor and glory. In Christ's name we pray. Amen.